Kansas City's George Brecko's 2-for-4 in a 12-4 win over Chicago to raise his batting average to .379. The Royals lead second-place Texas by 11 games in the American League West. Of course, the Royals would go on to the World Series that year, 1980. Also, fast forward 3 years to 1983. In a memorable Pine Tar game, George Brett hits the home run. So today's the anniversary of the Pine Tar game, which arguably is the greatest reaction to a call by an official in the history of sports.
Fair enough. That's just one of those situations where I wish I was alive.
Well, I was alive, but I don't remember. Watch on video, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just to know that. You know, the Richard of the Yankees, he knew what he was doing.
Oh, God,
he was
yeah. beat.
Billy mm-hmm. Martin comes out. And then just to see, like, if Brett did that today, what's the over-under on his suspension?
Oh, my God.
6.5?
But what makes it even more stunning is not just that game, but the game where George slides into third, gets up, and Nettles and him punch each other in the face, and neither gets ejected.
No.
I mean, today's game, you're suspended for a decade.
Back when America had hair on its chest.
That's right. You better believe it.
Now everybody is shaving their chest and waxing it.
Yep.
I do shave my chest.
You do?
It itches. Not with a razor, just with like the trimmer.
Okay. You got to trim it a little
bit.
Random
fact.
Okay.
The Fireman by George Strait, real quick, if I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's one of those songs that I didn't know the true meaning of until I got older.
Oh, it's about a reliever in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely in a bullpen, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely relieving somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's what they called the old relievers back in the day. They were the firemen.
Is there a song that you used to listen to that the older you got, you found the truth out about?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is, but I'd have to think about that. That's like, now I'm on the spot to think about, like, oh my God, that song was about that.
The Macarena. Want to take a guess?
No.
Prostitution.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want to take a guess about the song Madonna Like a Prayer?
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my top songs of all time.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not about praying.
Okay.
I'll tell you that much.
I love the song.
Just think about the lyrics.
Yeah. Play that song coming back next after the break.
Oh,
we'll do a little Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Again, way back Wednesday, you want to hear a song, text in to 913-586-7610. Tell Mac what song you want to hear, and then tell Mac what your name is.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel, yay, nay, you like the guy, you don't
love
like
him.
The guy? Okay.
Love
Would
Mike
you
Vrabel.
Love him in your division?
No, hell
okay,
no.
Okay, well, there
no.
was a chance.
Yeah.
Said he was going to go to the Dodgers. Welcome to baseball season,
you know
Dusty.
What? You know what, Dusty? I'd hire Mike Vrabel to be the manager of a baseball team.
Be the best defensive team you've ever seen.
Right.
He said, I thought I had a great interview in L.A. for the Chargers, and Harbaugh decided to come back to the NFL, and that's why Mr. Spanos and John Spanos communicated with me, and I respect that for that. I respect them for that. They literally called me on speakerphone at the grocery store. That last part I made up.
Okay.
And that rarely happens. Where if the owner is going to interview you and then go in a different direction, that they personally call you and they were like, hey, second place isn't going to give you much, but wanted to tell you that we just had an opportunity to hire Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Is this a situation that they look back on and think if it doesn't work, a lot of people think it's going to work with Jimmy.
Right.
If it doesn't work, are they going to think to themselves, well, this guy took Ryan Tannehill to an AFC championship game. Unfortunately, he lost to Patrick Mahomes in the run. They also had Derrick Henry. But is this a move that we could find going back on in like 4 or 5 years and think, oh, wow, they had a chance to get Vrabel. They took Harbaugh, and it was an utter disaster.
Well, yeah, and I think this just goes into the line of the Chargers making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they ever should have fired Anthony Lynn as their head coach. I definitely didn't think they should have hired Brendan Staley as their head coach because he was a stooge, you know, wrapped in a stooge. And then they went and hired Jim Harbaugh, who was a good NFL head coach, obviously. Took a team to a Super Bowl, but has been so isolated in college, and I don't know that he can relate back to the professional football player. We'll see how that goes down. And then also, the other decision that the Chargers made that I think is a deplorable, terrible decision was moving out of San Diego. Like, you left a fan base to go to a place that doesn't even know you're there. So I think, to me, I'm not surprised the Spanos family that runs that franchise made a terrible decision. And then they made a bad decision by paying that fan last year to be like the only Charger fan out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they come from a long line of bad decision making. I would have hired Mike Vrabel if I was a team looking for a coach this year over just about anybody that was hired in the hiring cycle. No, probably not over anybody that was hired in the hiring cycle. I'm surprised Belichick didn't get a job just because of the, you know, what he's been able to accomplish after all these years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mike Vrabel did not get another head coaching job just as tells you how dumb owners are in the NFL. Cause I think Mike Vrabel's one hell of a football coach.
Right. I think also he's a great coach for a situation that the Chargers are in.
Right.
Right. That's a franchise that just literally lacked discipline. Had no sort of like groundwork. I mean, Staley loses it last year when he had the press conference. He's like, I'm calling the defense.
Right.
Okay. Enough with your questions. Like once you see that sort of blow up in a media room with a coach, you kind of think the end is near. They had that before. That was Anthony Lynn. Had no control over that team. They were wasting a talent at Justin Herbert. I do think Herbert is a good quarterback. I just think he's in that situation where he's got a lot of mouths talking into only ears of his, and he doesn't know what the hell to do. And now they got rid of his number one target. His running back's gone. Good luck. That seems like a great job for a guy like Vrabel. Like, hey, I'm going to get the defense together, and I'm going to let this guy only talk to you and try to get this team going forward. Whereas maybe Harbaugh's that guy, but when you hear those audios of like, it's not about yesterday, it's about today.
Yeah, right.
Like, that doesn't seem like a guy, at least in my opinion, and I might be wrong and it could work out. That doesn't seem like a guy that's in there to fix a problem immediately, whereas Vrabel's more of a red ass and could go in there and really kind of turn a team around and kind of get the focus shifted to where it's like, hey, when he talks, you shut up.
Yeah, but Vrabel's also relatable, I think, to the NFL player, because not that Harbaugh didn't play the game. Vrabel obviously played the game. Guys know who Vrabel is. He's been coaching in this league. Mm-hmm. He knows what it takes to have success in this current day of the NFL. Jim Harbaugh has not had success in the NFL in over a decade. Mm-hmm. Because he hasn't coached. Well, yeah, because he's been in college.
He's in college. Because he has been failing.
Right. But he's been in college, and it's a completely different beast than what we've seen. We do not see, other than Pete Carroll, guys that go from college to the pros don't normally have success. And I know Harbaugh's kind of following that path from the pros to college to pros to college, and he's been on both sides. But when you win a national championship and you're talking about each piece of confetti telling a story, how do you think that's going to go over when you have that type of presentation to grown men who are making more money than you and don't have the time of day to sit here and listen to your rah-rah stuff because they've got other things going on? It's one thing to have that approach with college kids who are beholden to you. They're there. They got nothing else going on. You're dealing with pros who got families, lives, other things, and you're sitting there talking about how each piece of confetti tells a story. Stop wasting my time, okay? I think we've gotten to a point in this world where we don't want to waste our time. And Harbaugh lecturing you on confetti and 2-day and all this other stuff that he said and all this public, like, you're like, oh my God, is this guy here between, like, is there anything behind those eyeballs? Like, or is that just a dead space?
No,
like,
it's all gone.
It's just to me, like, you had a chance to hire Vrabel and you didn't? Man. I think the Chargers are going to look back on that and go, damn, we made a big mistake. But it's not surprising because the Chargers have been making mistakes for the better part of a decade now.
I mean, it's not great.
It's not just another day. It's today.
It was pretty up close and personal in Nashville to that whole Vrabel situation these past few years. And it grew stale. I will say that. You stop winning those games, his style of coaching grows really stale because you're going to be a hard ass. You're going to be that red ass. You're going to be screaming at me. You're going to be yelling at me. We're going to be doing 2 days. You're going to be sprinting. We're going to be hitting hard in practice. But we're going to go out and win 4 or 5 games. We're going to go out. You're going to go out and throw players under the bus and press conferences after games. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's legit. He's real. But it gets old really fast. And the last 2 or 3 years in Tennessee went really poorly. Not all his fault by any means.
I was
going to
say, did they give him the talent?
No,
they
didn't.
His best wide receiver,
yes,
right?
Yes. John Robinson had 2 or 3 terrible drafts in a row. That's why he was fired. But 49-22-1 in the NFL, 144-52 in college is John Harbaugh. This guy wins. Or Jim Harbaugh. This guy wins.
No, I mean, look, he's got the track record, obviously, but will that track record continue, or has that track record taken a big left-hand turn and he's not going to be able to get back what he had in the NFL?
I'll tell you what, though. If I lost 3 games in a row and a guy like Mike Vrabel got my face and fired me up, I'd probably run through a wall. If I lost 3 in a row and somebody came up to me and started talking to me like this.
At 3:34 in the morning, woke up, staring straight at the ceiling and said to myself, it's not just another day, it's today. And maybe that's just another way of saying, attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. But it was a great day.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw an automatic pick six just because of that.
Yeah.
Man, sorry, I don't want to win.
Sorry, man. Like, but Vrabel, you know, it's like, you know, let's take, I don't know, like the White Sox right now are getting their asses kicked and handed to them, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, you got to fire the manager. What kind of talent's on that team? Or, you know, Tennessee. Yeah, Vrabel needs to go. Who was his quarterback?
Tannehill.
Right.
Yeah.
Who he wanted to keep, but that's part of the issues, too.
And then who was the quarterback they had they wouldn't let throw the football?
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
Oh, Malik Willis. Yeah, that's right.
Like, you're not going to throw it.
Yeah, can't throw it.
Let's transition to baseball. The trade deadline is 7 days away, July 31st.
July 31st. Yeah, August 1st, actually, I think. August 1st, whatever they moved it to. We got a week.
They gave us the COVID year. So, trade deadline, we can talk about the Royals, or we can talk about why you don't think anything's going to happen because you're – your problem with the MLB is that they just don't want to do it.
Yeah, there's too many nerds running organizations and too many people in organizations that are beholden to prospects and beholden to what the reaction's going to be on social media. Instead of doing what's best for your organization and instead of doing what's best for your franchise, there's a lot of folks in Major League Baseball right now that care about what social media says and about the people who fall in love with their prospects. Just talking to people around the game over the last couple of days to kind of find out, like, what the hell's going on with the trade deadline, right? Are we gonna see anything happen? Everybody in baseball right now that is in competition wants, like, your best player. Say you're the Rockies and you're out of this thing right now and you've got Todd Helton on your team. And I'm just using that for argument's sake, right?
Yeah.
And I need an outfield bat, right? I want Todd Helton. I'm going to ask you for Todd Helton. And then in return, I'm not willing to part with good prospects to make that deal happen. So what baseball teams can say is, well, we tried, right? But they're not willing to part with their prospects. And I'm here to tell you, with factual evidence from somebody other than me, that parting with your prospects, no matter how good you believe they are, to get proven major league talent back in return is 100% the right thing to do. Baseball America, who I value probably more than any other entity that covers a sport, right? I think they do an unbelievable job. Mm-hmm. They focus on stuff that I'm not strong at, so I always value what they do. J.J. Cooper and company over there at Baseball America.
Too.
Very credible, right? So they did a study tiering all 499 MLB prospects traded at the deadline since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. By our best count, there have been 511 prospects included in trades at the deadline since 2015. In actuality, 499 prospects were traded, as in 12 cases, a prospect traded at one deadline was swapped again at another deadline.
Yeah.
Either way, we can expect MLB teams to deal around 55 to 60 prospects by the time the trade deadline rolls around next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Not today, but Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
Of the 499 players that were traded, 31, or 6.1% of them, were all-stars or close to all-stars.
That's not a good percentage.
It's a terrible percentage. So for all of these folks that are saying, don't mortgage the future, don't do this. What future? 95% of the guys that you're trading never amount to anything.
Right.
And so going, quote unquote, all in by trading your prospect and, you know, whatever it is, and mortgaging the future for an opportunity to win now is mathematically better than sitting back and not trading your prospects, because the prospects that get traded do not really have an impact on the team that they're traded to. Think about what the Royals did in 14
and 15. That's where my mind was going, the Will Myers.
We can go Will Myers, yeah. Nice player.
Right.
We won a World Series and went to another. I'll take that over Will Myers hitting 250 for 10 years in my lineup, right? But think about all the players that the Royals gave up for Cueto and Zobrist, right?
Yep.
Who's not selling insurance other than Sean Manaea, who's a nice middle-of-the-rotation pitcher for you?
But that's one.
That's one out of all those prospects that they traded. And I'm sure there were people inside the Royals organization who didn't want to make those trades, who didn't want to part with those prospects, right? Because those guys and gals are in every organization. Well, we shouldn't do this. No, you absolutely should do this. You should 100% trade your prospects for proven major league talent, because in the last 10 years, only 6.1% of the people that were traded in the minor leagues went on to be all-stars or close to all-stars, and you're getting back proven major league players that get you over the top, put you into the postseason, and give you a chance to win a championship. And flags do fly forever. And based on this list, these guys that you traded are now all selling insurance.
And to piggyback on that, to where you say prospects, the biggest, I think, trade rumor, and if you haven't seen this, it's out there. If you search for it, it's all over MLB.com.
Right.
There is a big, hot prospect and a big trade possibility, and it involves two American League teams, one in the Central.
Yeah.
And that is the Detroit Tigers, mm-hmm. who are slowly but surely falling out of it. Probably not going to be in the Central for much longer. Not going to have much after that. But they have Skubal, who's the Cy Young candidate, and there's a team interested.
Right.
And that team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Orioles are then going to be asked, which is what we've seen by rumors, we want Jackson Holliday and another player.
Trade him.
And if you're Baltimore, you're saying absolutely.
Absolutely. And so what if they go on to become all-stars? Tarik Skubal gives you, along with Corbin Burns, a pretty nice 1-2 punch that's very Schilling and Johnson-like going into the World Series. If you have Skubal and Burns at the top of your rotation in the postseason, you got a pretty good chance of winning a World Series.
Yeah.
And isn't winning a World Series a lot more valuable than keeping Jackson Holliday on your team?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, is that baseball and the Orioles, I will say.
But this is how the organizations have built themselves and have justified the ownership to keep their jobs.
Right.
I mean, it's a farce. It's a fallacy. It's a fraud. These baseball teams out here going, well, we've got these prospects. We can't trade them. Prospects are suspects.
You also don't know what they're going to be. It's an enigma.
It's an unknown. Just because you're a prospect doesn't mean you're going to be a good major leaguer.
Right? Like they had a conversation Monday night on the air that Randall Grinchick for the team they're playing right now, the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
He went ahead of Mike Trout in the draft. How'd that work out? I mean, Mike Trout's a Hall of Famer, whether he's not been playing for a lot in the last decade or not, but he's still a Hall of Famer, but you don't know on prospects. And the other thing too is that when you look at the Royals this year, I was watching the game last night. I don't know much. I know they have a decent minor league system, and I know that they're a small market team, so they bank on homegrown talent. But this Royals team is in dire needs of a leadoff hitter. They need someone to set the plate for Bobby Witt Jr.
I love Michael Garcia in that spot. I know I'm the only one. But when he gets on, Bobby drives him in. It's 1-0.
If he gets on.
Right.
Now he's found himself hitting 7th and 8th in the lineup. There's a reason for that. And it's been Frazier, it's been Hanson, it's been Garcia, it cannot be Bobby Witt.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take that there. But somebody's got to be a table setter. And if it's going to cause you to give up, and that's the other thing too that I think you find with like fan bases and writers, is that they're like, oh man, this guy's supposed to be the next blank.
Right.
Okay, we don't know that.
You don't know that.
Right?
You don't know that, because for every guy that you tell me is going to be the next blank, there's 100 people that you told me is going to be the next blank, and then they fall on their faces and they do nothing.
But what you do know is that you're in contention, and the only way to do that is to get a proven player, and what you have to give up is something that's not proven. The fact that you're lost in that, and depending on where your roster is right now, I mean, I think that the Royals do need to do that. They need to get up somebody in their farm system that maybe other teams are like, they're going to give us that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to go get Hunter Harvey, they gave up one of their best prospects.
Yeah.
Who knows if we ever hear that name again?
I don't even remember who they gave up for Hunter Harvey right now. Because it doesn't matter. Because based on that analysis by Baseball America, 6.1% of the 500 players that were traded in the last 10 years of the deadline went on to become all-stars or close to it. The odds are that guy you're traded isn't going to amount to anything. And if he becomes a 10-year guy that's a middle reliever or, mm-hmm. you know, a rubber arm or a middle infielder or something like that, so what? Who cares? Like, and that's the mindset that teams need to get into. Trade everybody in the minor leagues. You're not building an empire down there, okay? You've got prospects who are suspects until they produce at the big league level. And I'd rather take my chances with proven commodities that are, like, all these people are like, are they all in? Yeah, they should be all in. You know, it's just like general managers over the years on every team in baseball have used the minor league system to justify not getting fired to the owners. They can say, look at all these prospects we have down here. Like, that's always been the safety net for a lot of these general managers. The Yankees, the Cardinals, some of these other teams hype up their prospects, create this aura of who these prospects are, then they flip them and they never amount to anything either. So you've got to trade your prospects. You can't be beholden to guys in the minor leagues who have never done it at the big league level. Like, it just makes me sick thinking we can't trade that guy. Why not?
But I do love it when teams you don't like trade away prospects and they actually do something well, like Garcia in Texas, St. Louis farm system.
Yeah.
Randy Arozarena,
yeah.
St. Louis farm
right.
system. They went out and got an arm. Didn't work. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes
right.
you do get like, oh, we had that guy. But very rarely, like you said, does it pan out 6.1%.
Right. Kansas City's George Brett goes 2-for-4 in a 12-4 win over Chicago to raise his batting average to .379. The Royals lead second place Texas by 11 games in the American League West. Of course, the Royals would go out of the World Series that year, 1980. Also, fast forward 3 years to 1983. In a memorable Pine Tar game, George Brett hits the home run. So today's the anniversary of the Pine Tar game, which arguably is the greatest reaction to a call by an official in the history of sports.
Fair enough. That's just one of those situations where I wish I was alive.
Well, I was alive, but I don't remember. You watch on video, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just to know that. You know, the Richard of the Yankees, he knew what he was doing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Billy Martin comes out. And then just to see, like, if Brett did that today, what's the over-under on his suspension?
Oh, my God.
6.5?
But what makes it even more stunning is not just that game, but the game where George slides into third, gets up, and Nettles and him punch each other in the face, and neither gets ejected.
No.
I mean, today's game, you're suspended for a decade.
Back when America had hair on its chest.
That's right. You better believe it.
Now everybody's shaving their chest and waxing it.
Yep.
I do shave my chest.
You do?
Not with a razor, just with like the trimmer.
Okay. You got to trim it a little
random
bit.
Random fact.
Okay.
The Fireman by George Strait, real quick, if I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's one of those songs that I didn't know the true meaning of until I got older.
Oh, it's about a reliever in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely in a bullpen, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely relieving somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's what they called the old relievers back in the day. They were the firemen.
Is there a song that you used to listen to that the older you got, you found the truth out about?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is, but I'd have to think about that. That's like, now I'm on the spot to think about, like, oh my God, that song was about that.
The Macarena. Want to take a guess?
No.
Prostitution.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want to take a guess about the song Madonna Like a Prayer?
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my top songs of all time.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not about praying.
Okay.
I'll tell you that much.
I love the song.
Just think about the lyrics.
Yeah. Play that song coming back next after the break.
Oh,
we'll do a little Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Again, way back Wednesday, you want to hear a song, text in to 913-586-7610. Tell Mac what song you want to hear, and then tell Mac what your name is.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel, yay, nay, you like the guy, you don't
love
like
him.
The guy? Okay.
Love
Would
Mike
you
Vrabel.
Love him in your division?
No, hell
okay,
no.
Okay, well, there
no.
was a chance.
Yeah.
Said he was going to go to the Dodgers. Welcome to baseball season,
you know
Dusty.
What? You know what, Dusty? I'd hire Mike Vrabel to be the manager of a baseball team.
Be the best defensive team you've ever seen.
Right.
He said, I thought I had a great interview in L.A. for the Chargers, and Harbaugh decided to come back to the NFL, and that's why Mr. Spanos and John Spanos communicated with me, and I respect that for that. I respect them for that. They literally called me on speakerphone at the grocery store. That last part I made up.
Okay.
And that rarely happens. Where if the owner is going to interview you and then go in a different direction, that they personally call you and they were like, hey, second place isn't going to give you much, but wanted to tell you that we just had an opportunity to hire Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Is this a situation that they look back on and think if it doesn't work, a lot of people think it's going to work with Jimmy.
Right.
If it doesn't work, are they going to think to themselves, well, this guy took Ryan Tannehill to an AFC championship game. Unfortunately, he lost to Patrick Mahomes in the run. They also had Derrick Henry. But is this a move that we could find going back on in like 4 or 5 years and think, oh, wow, they had a chance to get Vrabel. They took Harbaugh, and it was an utter disaster.
Well, yeah, and I think this just goes into the line of the Chargers making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever should have fired Anthony Lynn as their head coach. I definitely didn't think they should have hired Brendan Staley as their head coach because he was a stooge, you know, wrapped in a stooge. And then they went and hired Jim Harbaugh, who was a good NFL head coach, obviously, took a team to a Super Bowl, but has been so isolated in college, and I don't know that he can relate back to the professional football player. We'll see how that goes down. And then also, the other decision that the Chargers made that I think is a deplorable, terrible decision was moving out of San Diego. Like, you left a fan base to go to a place that doesn't even know you're there. So I think, to me, I'm not surprised the Spanos family that runs that franchise made a terrible decision. And then they made a bad decision by paying that fan last year to be like the only Charger fan out there, right? Mm-hmm. So they come from a long line of bad decision making. I would have hired Mike Vrabel if I was a team looking for a coach this year over just about anybody that was hired in the hiring cycle. No, probably not over anybody that was hired in the hiring cycle. I'm surprised Belichick didn't get a job just because of the, you know, what he's been able to accomplish after all these years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mike Vrabel did not get another head coaching job just as tells you how dumb owners are in the NFL. Cause I think Mike Vrabel's one hell of a football coach.
Right. I think also he's a great coach for a situation that the Chargers are in.
Right.
Right. That's a franchise that just literally lacked discipline. Had no sort of like groundwork. I mean, Staley loses it last year when he had the press conference. He's like, I'm calling the defense.
Right.
Okay, enough with your questions. Like, once you see that sort of blow up in a media room with a coach, you kind of think the end is near. They had that before. That was Anthony Lynn. Had no control over that team. They were wasting a talent at Justin Herbert. I do think Herbert is a good quarterback. I just think he's in that situation where he's got a lot of mouths talking into only ears of his, and he doesn't know what the hell to do. And now they got rid of his number one target. His running back's gone. Good luck. That seems like a great job for a guy like Vrabel. Like, hey, I'm going to get the defense together, and I'm going to let this guy only talk to you and try to get this team going forward. Whereas maybe Harbaugh's that guy, but when you hear those audios of like, it's not about yesterday, it's about today.
Yeah, right.
Like, that doesn't seem like a guy, at least in my opinion, and I might be wrong and it could work out. That doesn't seem like a guy that's in there to fix a problem immediately, whereas Vrabel's more of a red ass and can go in there and really kind of turn a team around and kind of get the focus shifted to where it's like, hey, when he talks, you shut up.
Yeah, but Vrabel's also relatable, I think, to the NFL player, because not that Harbaugh didn't play the game. Vrabel obviously played the game. Guys know who Vrabel is. He's been coaching in this league. Mm-hmm. He knows what it takes to have success in this current day of the NFL. Jim Harbaugh has not had success in the NFL in over a decade. Mm-hmm. Because he hasn't coached. Well, yeah, because he's been in college.
He's in college. Because he has been failing.
Right. But he's been in college, and it's a completely different beast than what we've seen. We do not see, other than Pete Carroll, guys that go from college to the pros don't normally have success. And I know Harbaugh's kind of following that path from the pros to college to pros to college, and he's been on both sides. But when you win a national championship and you're talking about each piece of confetti telling a story, how do you think that's going to go over when you have that type of presentation to grown men who are making more money than you and don't have the time of day to sit here and listen to your rah-rah stuff because they've got other things going on? It's one thing to have that approach with college kids who are beholden to you. They're there. They got nothing else going on. You're dealing with pros who got families, lives, other things, and you're sitting there talking about how each piece of confetti tells a story. Stop wasting my time, okay? I think we've gotten to a point in this world where we don't want to waste our time. And Harbaugh lecturing you on confetti and 2-day and all this other stuff that he said and all this public, like, you're like, oh my God, is this guy here between, like, is there anything behind those eyeballs? Like, or is that just a dead space?
No,
like,
it's all gone.
It's just to me, like, you had a chance to hire Vrabel and you didn't? Man. I think the Chargers are going to look back on that and go, damn, we made a big mistake. But it's not surprising because the Chargers have been making mistakes for the better part of a decade now.
I mean, it's not great.
It's not just another day. It's 2-day.
It was pretty up close and personal in Nashville to that whole Vrabel situation these past few years. And it grew stale. I will say that. You stop winning those games, his style of coaching grows really stale because you're going to be a hard ass. You're going to be that red ass. You're going to be screaming at me. You're going to be yelling at me. We're going to be doing 2 days. You're going to be sprinting. We're going to be hitting hard in practice. But we're going to go out and win 4 or 5 games. we're going to go out. You're going to go out and throw players under the bus and press conferences after games. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's legit. He's real. But it gets old really fast. And the last two or three years in Tennessee went really poorly. Not all his fault by any means.
I was
going to
say, did they give him the talent? Didn't
they
trade his best wide receiver,
yes,
right?
Yes. John Robinson had two or three terrible drafts in a row. That's why he was fired. But 49-22-1 in the NFL, 144-52 in college is John Harbaugh. This guy wins. Or Jim Harbaugh. This guy wins.
No, I mean, look, he's got the track record, obviously, but will that track record continue, or has that track record taken a big left-hand turn and he's not going to be able to get back what he had in the NFL?
I'll tell you what, though. If I lost three games in a row and a guy like Mike Vrabel got my face and fired me up, I'd probably run through a wall. If I lost three in a row and somebody came up to me and started talking to me like this.
At 3:34 in the morning, woke up, staring straight at the ceiling, and said to myself, it's not just another day, it's today. And maybe that's just another way of saying, attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. But it was a great day.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw an automatic pick six just because of that.
Yeah.
Man, sorry, I don't want to win.
Sorry,
anymore.
Man. Like, but Vrabel, you know, it's like, you know, let's take, I don't know, like the White Sox right now are getting their asses kicked and handed to them, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, you got to fire the manager. What kind of talent's on that team? Or, you know, Tennessee. Yeah, Vrabel needs to go. Who was his quarterback?
Tannehill.
Right.
Yeah.
Who he wanted to keep, but. That's part of the issues, too.
And then who was the quarterback they had they wouldn't let throw the football?
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
Oh, Malik Willis. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to throw it.
Yeah, can't throw it.
Let's transition to baseball. The trade deadline is 7 days away, July 31st.
July 31st. Yeah, August 1st, actually, I think. August 1st, whatever they moved it to. We got a week.
They gave us the COVID year. So, trade deadline, we can talk about the Royals, or we can talk about why you don't think anything's going to happen because you're – your problem with the MLB is that they just don't want to do it.
Yeah, there's too many nerds running organizations and too many people in organizations that are beholden to prospects and beholden to what the reaction's going to be on social media. Instead of doing what's best for your organization and instead of doing what's best for your franchise, there's a lot of folks in Major League Baseball right now that care about what social media says and about the people who fall in love with their prospects. Just talking to people around the game over the last couple of days to kind of find out, like, what the hell's going on with the trade deadline, right? Are we gonna see anything happen? Everybody in baseball right now that is in competition wants, like, your best player. Say you're the Rockies and you're out of this thing right now and you've got Todd Helton on your team. And I'm just using that for argument's sake, right?
Yeah.
And I need an outfield bat, right? I want Todd Helton. I'm going to ask you for Todd Helton. And then in return, I'm not willing to part with good prospects to make that deal happen. So what baseball teams can say is, well, we tried, right? But they're not willing to part with their prospects. And I'm here to tell you, with factual evidence from somebody other than me, that parting with your prospects, no matter how good you believe they are, to get proven major league talent back in return is 100% the right thing to do. Baseball America, who I value probably more than any other entity that covers a sport, right? I think they do an unbelievable job. Mm-hmm. They focus on stuff that I'm not strong at, so I always value what they do. J.J. Cooper and company over there at Baseball America.
Too.
Very credible, right? So they did a study tiering all 499 MLB prospects traded at the deadline since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. By our best count, there have been 511 prospects included in trades at the deadline since 2015. In actuality, 499 prospects were traded, as in 12 cases, a prospect traded at one deadline was swapped again at another deadline.
Yeah.
Either way, we can expect MLB teams to deal around 55 to 60 prospects by the time the trade deadline rolls around next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Not today, but Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
Of the 499 players that were traded, 31, or 6.1% of them, were all-stars or close to all-stars.
That's not a good percentage.
It's a terrible percentage. So for all of these folks that are saying, don't mortgage the future, don't do this. What future? 95% of the guys that you're trading never amount to anything.
Right.
And so going, quote unquote, all in by trading your prospect and, you know, whatever it is, and mortgaging the future for an opportunity to win now is mathematically better than sitting back and not trading your prospects, because the prospects that get traded do not really have an impact on the team that they're traded to. Think about what the Royals did in 14
and 15. That's where my mind was going, the Will Myers.
But even, okay, we can go even go Will Myers, yeah. Nice player.
Right.
We won a World Series and went to another. I'll take that over Will Myers hitting 250 for 10 years in my lineup, right? But think about all the players that the Royals gave up for Cueto and Zobrist, right?
Yep.
Who's not selling insurance other than Sean Manaea, who's a nice middle-of-the-rotation pitcher for you?
But that's one.
That's one out of all those prospects that they traded. And I'm sure there were people inside the Royals organization who didn't want to make those trades, who didn't want to part with those prospects, right? Because those guys and gals are in every organization. Well, we shouldn't do this. No, you absolutely should do this. You should 100% trade your prospects for proven major league talent, because in the last 10 years, only 6.1% of the people that were traded in the minor leagues went on to be all-stars or close to all-stars, and you're getting back proven major league players that get you over the top, put you into the postseason, and give you a chance to win a championship. And flags do fly forever. And based on this list, these guys that you traded are now all selling insurance.
And to piggyback on that, to where you say prospects, the biggest, I think, trade rumor, and if you haven't seen this, it's out there. If you search for it, it's all over MLB.com.
Right.
There is a big, hot prospect and a big trade possibility, and it involves two American League teams, one in the Central.
Yeah.
And that is the Detroit Tigers, mm-hmm. who are slowly but surely falling out of it. Probably not going to be in the Central for much longer. Not going to have much after that. But they have Scooble, who's the Cy Young candidate, and there's a team interested.
Right.
And that team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Orioles are then going to be asked, which is what we've seen by rumors, we want Jackson Holliday and another player.
Trade him.
And if you're Baltimore, you're saying absolutely.
Absolutely. And so what if they go on to become all-stars? Tarik Skubal gives you, along with Corbin Burns, a pretty nice 1-2 punch that's very Schilling and Johnson-like going into the World Series. If you have Skubal and Burns at the top of your rotation in the postseason, you got a pretty good chance of winning a World Series.
Yeah.
And isn't winning a World Series a lot more valuable than keeping Jackson Holliday on your team?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, is that baseball and the Orioles, I will say.
But this is how the organizations have built themselves and have justified to ownership to keep their jobs.
Right.
I mean, it's a farce. It's a fallacy. It's a fraud. These baseball teams out here going, well, we've got these prospects. We can't trade them. Prospects are suspects.
You also don't know what they're going to be. It's an enigma.
It's an unknown. Because you're a prospect doesn't mean you're going to be a good major leaguer.
Right? Like they had a conversation Monday night on the air that Randall Grinchick for the team they're playing right now, the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
He went ahead of Mike Trout in the draft. How'd that work out? I mean, Mike Trout's a Hall of Famer, whether he's not been playing for a lot in the last decade or not, but he's still a Hall of Famer, but you don't know on prospects. And the other thing too is that when you look at the Royals this year, I was watching the game last night. I don't know much. I know they have a decent minor league system, and I know that they're a small market team, so they bank on homegrown talent. But this Royals team is in dire needs of a leadoff hitter. They need someone to set the plate for Bobby Witt Jr.
I love Michael Garcia in that spot. I know I'm the only one. But when he gets on, Bobby drives him in. It's 1-0.
If he gets on.
Right.
Now he's found himself hitting 7th and 8th in the lineup. There's a reason for that. And it's been Frazier, it's been Hanson, it's been Garcia, it cannot be Bobby Witt.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take that there. But somebody's got to be a table setter. And if it's going to cause you to give up, and that's the other thing too that I think you find with like fan bases and writers, is that they're like, oh man, this guy's supposed to be the next blank.
Right.
Okay, we don't know that.
You don't know that.
Right?
You don't know that, because for every guy that you tell me is going to be the next blank, there's 100 people that you told me is going to be the next blank, and then they fall on their faces and they do nothing.
But what you do know is that you're in contention, and the only way to do that is to get a proven player, and what you have to give up is something that's not proven. The fact that you're lost in that. And depending on where your roster is right now, I mean, I think that the Royals do need to do that. They need to get up somebody in their farm system that maybe other teams are like, they're going to give us that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to go get Hunter Harvey, they gave up one of their best prospects.
Yeah.
Who knows if we ever hear that name again?
I don't even remember who they gave up for Hunter Harvey right now. Because it doesn't matter. Because based on that analysis by Baseball America, 6.1% of the 500 players that were traded in the last 10 years of the deadline went on to become all-stars or close to it. The odds are that guy you're traded isn't going to amount to anything. And if he becomes a 10-year guy that's a middle reliever or, mm-hmm. you know, a rubber arm or a middle infielder or something like that, so what? Who cares? Like, and that's the mindset that teams need to get into. Trade everybody in the minor leagues. You're not building an empire down there, okay? You've got prospects who are suspects until they produce at the big league level. And I'd rather take my chances with proven commodities that are, like, all these people are like, are they all in? Yeah, they should be all in. You know, it's just like general managers over the years on every team in baseball have used the minor league system to justify not getting fired to the owners. They can say, look at all these prospects we have down here. Like, that's always been the safety net for a lot of these general managers. The Yankees, the Cardinals, some of these other teams hype up their prospects, create this aura of who these prospects are, then they flip them and they never amount to anything either. So you've got to trade your prospects. You can't be beholden to guys in the minor leagues who have never done it at the big league level. Like, it just makes me sick thinking we can't trade that guy. Why not?
But I do love it when teams you don't like trade away prospects and they actually do something well, like Garcia in Texas, St. Louis farm system.
Yeah.
Randy Arozarena,
yeah.
St. Louis farm
right.
system. Yeah. They went out and got an arm. Didn't work. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes
right.
you do get like, oh, we had that guy. But very rarely, like you said, does it pan out 6.1%.
Right. Kansas City's George Brett goes 2-for-4 in a 12-4 win over Chicago to raise his batting average to .379. The Royals lead second place Texas by 11 games in the American League West. Of course, the Royals would go out of the World Series that year, 1980. Also, fast forward 3 years to 1983. In a memorable Pine Tar game, George Brett hits the home run. So today's the anniversary of the Pine Tar game, which arguably is the greatest reaction to a call by an official in the history of sports.
Fair enough. That's just one of those situations where I wish I was alive.
Well, I was alive, but I don't remember. You yeah. watch on video, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just to know that. You know, the Richard of the Yankees, he knew what he was doing.
Oh,
knew
God,
he was
yeah.
beat. Billy
mm-hmm.
Martin comes out. And then just to see, like, if Brett did that today, what's the over-under on his suspension?
Oh, my God.
6.5?
But what makes it even more stunning is not just that game, but the game where George slides into third, gets up, and Nettles and him punch each other in the face, and yeah. neither gets ejected.
No.
I mean, today's game, you're suspended for a decade.
Back when America had hair on its chest.
That's right. Yeah, you better believe it.
Now everybody's shaving their chest and waxing it.
Yep.
I do shave my chest.
You do?
It well, itches. Not with a razor, just with like the trimmer.
Okay. You got to trim it a little
random
bit.
Random fact.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fireman by George Strait, real quick, if
yeah.
I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's one of those songs that I didn't know the true meaning of until I got older.
Oh, it's about a reliever in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely in a bullpen, that's
mm-hmm,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely relieving somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's what they called the old relievers back in the day. They were the firemen.
Is there a song that you used to listen to that the older you got, you found the truth out about?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is, but I'd have to think about that. That's like, now I'm on the spot to think about, like, oh my God, that song was about that.
The Macarena. Want to take a guess?
No.
Prostitution.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want to take a guess about the song Madonna Like a Prayer?
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my top songs of all time.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not about praying.
Okay.
I'll tell you that much.
I love the song.
Just think about the lyrics.
Yeah. Play that song coming back next after the break.
Oh,
we'll do Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Again, way back Wednesday, you want to hear a song, text in to 913-586-7610. Tell Mac what song you want to hear, and then tell Mac what your name is.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel, yay, nay, you like the guy, you don't
love
like
him.
The guy? Okay.
Love Mike
Would you
Vrabel.
Love him in your division?
No, hell
okay,
no.
Okay, well, there
no.
was a chance.
Yeah.
Said he was going to go to the Dodgers. Welcome to baseball season,
you know,
Dusty.
What? You know what, Dusty? I'd hire Mike Vrabel to be the manager of a baseball team.
Be the best defensive team you've ever seen.
Right.
He said, I thought I had a great interview in L.A. for the Chargers, and Harbaugh decided to come back to the NFL, and that's why Mr. Spanos and John Spanos communicated with me, and I respect that for that. I respect them for that. They literally called me on speakerphone at the grocery store. That last part I made up.
Okay.
And that rarely happens. Where if the owner is going to interview you and then go in a different direction, that they personally call you and they were like, hey, second place isn't going to give you much, but wanted to tell you that we just had an opportunity to hire Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Is this a situation that they look back on and think if it doesn't work, a lot of people think it's going to work with Jimmy.
Right.
If it doesn't work, are they going to think to themselves, well, this guy took Ryan Tannehill to an AFC championship game. Unfortunately, he lost to Patrick Mahomes in the run. They also had Derrick Henry. But is this a move that we could find going back on in like 4 or 5 years and think, oh, wow, they had a chance to get Vrabel. They took Harbaugh, and it was an utter disaster.
Well, yeah, and I think this just goes into the line of the Chargers making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever should have fired Anthony Lynn as their head coach. I definitely didn't think they should have hired Brendan Staley as their head coach because he was a stooge, you know, wrapped in a stooge. And then they went and hired Jim Harbaugh, who was a good NFL head coach, obviously. He took a team to a Super Bowl, but has been so isolated in college, and I don't know that he can relate back to the professional football player. We'll see how that goes down. And then also, the other decision that the Chargers made that I think is a deplorable, terrible decision was moving out of San Diego. Like, you left a fan base to go to a place that doesn't even know you're there. So I think, to me, I'm not surprised the Spanos family that runs that franchise made a terrible decision. And then they made a bad decision by paying that fan last year to be like the only Charger fan out there, right? Mm-hmm. So they come from a long line of bad decision-making. I would have hired Mike Vrabel if I was a team looking for a coach this year over just about anybody that was hired in the hiring cycle. No, probably not over anybody that was hired in the hiring cycle. I'm surprised Belichick didn't get a job just because of the, you know, what he's been able to accomplish after all these years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mike Vrabel did not get another head coaching job just as tells you how dumb owners are in the NFL. Cause I think Mike Vrabel's one hell of a football coach.
Right. I think also he's a great coach for a situation that the Chargers are in.
Right.
Right. That's a franchise that just literally lacked discipline. Had no sort of like groundwork. I mean, Staley loses it last year when he had the press conference. He's like, I'm calling the defense.
Right.
Okay, enough with your questions. Like, once you see that sort of blow up in a media room with a coach, you kind of think the end is near. They had that before. That was Anthony Lynn. Had no control over that team. They were wasting a talent at Justin Herbert. I do think Herbert is a good quarterback. I just think he's in that situation where he's got a lot of mouths talking into only ears of his, and he doesn't know what the hell to do. And now they got rid of his number one target. His running back's gone. Good luck. That seems like a great job for a guy like Vrabel. Like, hey, I'm going to get the defense together, and I'm going to let this guy only talk to you and try to get this team going forward. Whereas maybe Harbaugh's that guy, but when you hear those audios of like, it's not about yesterday, it's about today.
Yeah, right.
Like, that doesn't seem like a guy, at least in my opinion, and I might be wrong and it could work out. That doesn't seem like a guy that's in there to fix a problem immediately, whereas Vrabel's more of a red ass and could go in there and really kind of turn a team around and kind of get the focus shifted to where it's like, hey, when he talks, you shut up.
Yeah, but Vrabel's also relatable, I think, to the NFL player, because not that Harbaugh didn't play the game. Vrabel obviously played the game. Guys know who Vrabel is. He's been coaching in this league. Mm-hmm. He knows what it takes to have success in this current day of the NFL. Jim Harbaugh has not had success in the NFL in over a decade. Mm-hmm. And when
because
you
he hasn't coached.
Well, yeah, because he's been in college.
He's in college. He's in college. Not because he has been failing.
Right,
right.
But he's been in college, and it's a completely different beast than what we've seen. We do not see, other than Pete Carroll, guys that go from college to the pros don't normally have success. And I know Harbaugh's kind of following that path from the pros to college to pros to college, and he's been on both sides. But when you win a national championship and you're talking about each piece of confetti telling a story, how do you think that's going to go over when you have that type of presentation to grown men who are making more money than you and don't have the time of day to sit here and listen to your rah-rah stuff because they've got other things going on? It's one thing to have that approach with college kids who are beholden to you. They're there. They got nothing else going on. You're dealing with pros who got families, lives, other things, and you're sitting there talking about how each piece of confetti tells a story. Stop wasting my time, okay? I think we've gotten to a point in this world where we don't want to waste our time. And Harbaugh lecturing you on confetti and two-day and all this other stuff that he said and all this public, like, you're like, oh my God, is this guy here between, like, is there anything behind those eyeballs? Like, is, or is that just a dead space?
No,
like,
it's all gone.
It's just to me, like, you had a chance to hire Vrabel and you didn't? Man. I think the Chargers are going to look back on that and go, damn, we made a big mistake. But it's not surprising because the Chargers have been making mistakes for the better part of a decade now.
I mean, it's not great.
It's not just another day. It's today.
It was pretty up close and personal in Nashville to that whole Vrabel situation these past few years. And it grew stale. I will say that. You stop winning those games, his style of coaching grows really stale because you're going to be a hard ass. You're going to be that red ass. You're going to be screaming at me. You're going to be yelling at me. We're going to be doing 2 days. You're going to be sprinting. We're going to be hitting hard in practice, but we're going to go out and win 4 or 5 games. We're going to go out. You're going to go out and throw players under the bus and press conferences after games. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's legit. He's real. But it gets old really fast. And the last 2 or 3 years in Tennessee went really poorly. Not all his fault by any means.
I was
going to
say, did they give him the talent? Didn't
they
trade his best wide receiver,
yes,
right?
Yes, John Robinson had 2 or 3 terrible drafts in a row. That's why he was fired. But 49-22-1 in the NFL, 144-52 in college is John Harbaugh. This guy wins. Or Jim Harbaugh. This guy wins.
No, I mean, look, he's got the track record, obviously. But will that track record continue, or has that track record taken a big left-hand turn and he's not going to be able to get back what he had in the NFL?
I'll tell you what, though. If I lost 3 games in a row and a guy like Mike Vrabel got my face and fired me up, I'd probably run through a wall. If I lost 3 in a row and somebody came up to me and started talking to me like this.
At 3:34 in the morning, woke up. Staring straight at the ceiling and said to myself, it's not just another day, it's today. And maybe that's just another way of saying, attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. But it was a great day.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw an automatic pick 6 just because of that.
Yeah.
Man, sorry, I don't want to win.
Sorry,
anymore.
Man. Like, but Vrabel, you know, it's like, you know, let's take, I don't know, like the White Sox right now are getting their asses kicked and handed to them, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, you got to fire the manager. What kind of talent's on that team? Or, you know, Tennessee. Yeah, Vrabel needs to go. Who was his quarterback?
Tannehill.
Right.
Yeah.
Who he wanted to keep, but. That's part of the issues, too.
And then who was the quarterback they had they wouldn't let throw the football?
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
Oh, Malik Willis. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, you're not going to throw it.
Yeah, can't throw it.
Let's transition to baseball. The trade deadline is 7 days away, July 31st.
July 31st. Yeah, August 1st, actually, I think.
August 1st.
Whatever they moved it to. A week. We got a week.
They gave us the COVID year. Trade deadline, we can talk about the Royals, or we can talk about why you don't think anything's going to happen because you're – your problem with the MLB is that they just don't want to do it.
Yeah, there's too many nerds running organizations and too many people in organizations that are beholden to prospects and beholden to what the reaction's going to be on social media. Instead of doing what's best for your organization and instead of doing what's best for your franchise, there's a lot of folks in Major League Baseball right now that care about what social media says and about the people who fall in love with their prospects. Just talking to people around the game over the last couple of days to kind of find out, like, what the hell's going on with the trade deadline, right? Are we gonna see anything happen? Everybody in baseball right now that is in competition wants, like, your best player. Say you're the Rockies and you're out of this thing right now and you've got Todd Helton on your team, and I'm just using that for argument's sake, right?
Yeah.
And I need an outfield bat, right? I want Todd Helton. I'm going to ask you for Todd Helton. And then in return, I'm not willing to part with good prospects to make that deal happen. So what baseball teams can say is, well, we tried, right? But they're not willing to part with their prospects. And I'm here to tell you, with factual evidence from somebody other than me, that parting with your prospects, no matter how good you believe they are, to get proven major league talent back in return is 100% the right thing to do. Baseball America, who I value probably more than any other entity that covers a sport, right? I think they do an unbelievable job. Mm-hmm. They focus on stuff that I'm not strong at, so I always value what they do. J.J. Cooper and company over there,
super
at Baseball America.
Too.
Very credible, right? So they did a study tiering all 499 MLB prospects traded at the deadline since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. By our best count, there have been 511 prospects included in trades at the deadline since 2015. In actuality, 499 prospects were traded, as in 12 cases, a prospect traded at one deadline was swapped again at another deadline.
Yeah.
Either way, we can expect MLB teams to deal around 55 to 60 prospects by the time the trade deadline rolls around next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Not today, but Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
Of the 499 players that were traded, 31, or 6.1% of them, were all-stars or close to all-stars.
That's not a good percentage.
It's a terrible percentage. So for all of these folks that are saying, don't mortgage the future, don't do this, what future? 95% of the guys that you're trading never amount to anything.
Right.
And so going, quote unquote, all in by trading your prospect and, you know, whatever it is, and mortgaging the future for an opportunity to win now is mathematically better than sitting back and not trading your prospects, because the prospects that get traded do not really have an impact on the team that they're traded to. Think about what the Royals did in 14
and
15.
That's where my mind was going. The Will Myers.
We can go Will Myers, yeah. Nice player.
Right.
We won a World Series and went to another. I'll take that over Will Myers hitting 250 for 10 years in my lineup, right? But think about all the players that the Royals gave up for Cueto and Zobrist, right?
Yep.
Who's not selling insurance other than Sean Manaea, who's a nice middle-of-the-rotation pitcher for you?
But that's it. One.
That's one out of all those prospects that they traded. And I'm sure there were people inside the Royals organization who didn't want to make those trades, who didn't want to part with those prospects, right? Because those guys and gals are in every organization. Well, we shouldn't do this. No, you absolutely should do this. You should 100% trade your prospects for proven major league talent, because in the last 10 years, only 6.1% of the people that were traded in the minor leagues went on to be all-stars or close to all-stars, and you're getting back proven major league players that get you over the top, put you into the postseason, and give you a chance to win a championship. And flags do fly forever. And based on this list, these guys that you traded are now all selling insurance.
And to piggyback on that, to where you say prospects, the biggest, I think, trade rumor, and if you haven't seen this, it's out there. If you search for it, it's all over MLB.com.
Right.
There is a big, hot prospect and a big trade possibility, and it involves two American League teams, one in the Central.
Yeah.
And that is the Detroit Tigers, who are slowly but surely falling out of it. Probably not going to be in the Central for much longer. Not going to have much after that. But they have Skubal, who's the Cy Young candidate, and there's a team interested.
Right.
And that team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Orioles are then going to be asked, which is what we've seen by rumors, we want Jackson Holliday and another player.
Trade him.
And if you're Baltimore, you're saying absolutely.
Absolutely. And so what if they go on to become all-stars? Tarik Skubal gives you, along with Corbin Burns, a pretty nice 1-2 punch that's very Schilling and Johnson-like going into the World Series. If you have Skubal and Burns at the top of your rotation in the postseason, you got a pretty good chance of winning a World Series.
Yeah.
And isn't winning a World Series a lot more valuable than keeping Jackson Holliday on your team?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, is that baseball and the Orioles, I will say.
But this is how the organizations have built themselves and have justified the ownership to keep their jobs.
Right.
I mean, it's a farce. It's a fallacy. It's a fraud. These baseball teams out here going, well, we've got these prospects. We can't trade them. Prospects are suspects.
You also don't know what they're going to be. It's an enigma.
It's an unknown. Because you're a prospect doesn't mean you're going to be a good major leaguer.
Right? Like they had a conversation Monday night on the air that Randall Grichik for the team they're playing right now, the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
He went ahead of Mike Trout in the draft. How'd that work out? I mean, Mike Trout's a Hall of Famer, whether he's not been playing for a lot in the last decade or not, but he's still a Hall of Famer, but you don't know on prospects. And the other thing too is that when you look at the Royals this year, I was watching the game last night. I don't know much. I know they have a decent minor league system, and I know that they're a small market team, so they bank on homegrown talent. But this Royals team is in dire need of a leadoff hitter. They need someone to set the plate for Bobby Witt Jr.
I love Michael Garcia in that spot. I know I'm the only one. But when he gets on, Bobby drives him in, it's 1-0.
If he gets on.
Right.
Now he's found himself hitting 7th and 8th in the lineup. There's a reason for that. And it's been Frazier, it's been Hansen, it's been Garcia, it cannot be Bobby Witt.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take that there. But somebody's got to be a table setter. And if it's going to cause you to give up, and that's the other thing too that I think you find with like fan bases and writers is that they're like, oh man, this guy's supposed to be the next blank.
Right.
Okay, we don't know that.
You don't know that.
Right?
You don't know that because for every guy that you tell me is going to be the next blank, there's 100 people that you told me is going to be the next blank and then they fall on their faces and they do nothing.
But what you do know is that you're in contention and the only way to do that is to get a proven player and what you have to give up is something that's not proven. The fact that you're lost in that and depending on where your roster is right now, I mean, I think that the Royals do need to do that. They need to get up somebody in their farm system that maybe other teams are like, they're going to give us that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to go get Hunter Harvey, they gave up one of their best prospects.
Yeah.
Who knows if we ever hear that name again?
I don't even remember who they gave up for Hunter Harvey right now. Because it doesn't matter. Because based on that analysis by Baseball America, 6.1% of the 500 players that were traded in the last 10 years of the deadline went on to become all-stars or close to it. The odds are that guy you're traded isn't going to amount to anything. And if he becomes a 10-year guy that's a middle reliever or, you know, a rubber arm or a middle infielder or something like that, so what? Who cares? Like, and that's the mindset that teams need to get into. Trade everybody in the minor leagues. You're not building an empire down there, okay? You've got prospects who are suspects until they produce at the big league level. And I'd rather take my chances with proven commodities that are like, all these people are like, are they all in? Yeah, they should be all in. You know, it's just like general managers over the years on every team in baseball have used the minor league system to justify not getting fired to the owners. They can say, look at all these prospects we have down here. Like, that's always been the safety net for a lot of these general managers. The Yankees, the Cardinals, some of these other teams hype up their prospects, create this aura of who these prospects are, then they flip them and they never amount to anything either. So you've got to trade your prospects. You can't be beholden to guys in the minor leagues who have never done it at the big league level. Like, it just makes me sick thinking, we can't trade that guy. Why not?
But I do love it when teams you don't like trade away prospects and they actually do something well, like Garcia in Texas, St. Louis farm system.
Yeah.
Randy Arozarena, St. Louis farm system.
Yeah.
They went out and got an arm. Didn't work. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes you do get like, oh, we had that guy. But very rarely, like you said, does it pan out 6.1%.
Right.